I think being positive is a choice that people make. I think that we have a choice to speak life or speak death. We have a choice to be kind or not be kind. I just think that relationships are so important. I just, you know, and I know a lot of people don't lead with relationships, but I think relationships, you know, in any profession, I don't care what profession we're in. I think if we lead with relationships and if we are kind and serve and love our neighbor, I think that fixes a lot of things. And yeah. I think the world needs a little bit more of that. Servant leadership, kindness, speaking life.
Yeah.
And more love, you know, I think just that in general. And then if we can do that, I think we can make bigger strides in the right direction, not as an educational system, but as a state as a whole, or a country as a whole. I think we would make bigger strides than
as society as a whole. Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Dr. Teddy Clevenger. He is the superintendent at Bartlett ISD in Bartlett, Texas. Teddy, it's great to have you here today.
Yes, ma'am. It's glad to be on. Thank you for the invite.
So tell us what is happening in Bartlett.
Yes, ma'am. We're a small school district. We have roughly 450 students. We're an hour south of Waco, an hour north of Austin. And just like any other school district in the state or across the nation, it comes with challenges. You know, I've been blessed to be the superintendent here for at least 6 school years and going on year 7, and loving every bit of it. Just feel blessed to be a part of it, but it does come with its unique challenges. We've had a lot of great things happen, but we've had a lot of obstacles to overcome. I think the 3 biggest things that school districts face in Texas, the challenges they face, are the shortage of people, time, and money in order to educate kids. In Bartlett, one of the great things that we've been able to do is we've created our own pipeline of educators. And so we have our Grow Your Own program, where we hire students right out of high school. We hire Bartlett graduates, who we feel like are good candidates who want to do it, who aspire to be teachers or educators in some capacity. And we hire them, and we pay for all their college. We have a partnership with Temple College. We also have a partnership with Abilene Christian University, and we have a partnership with Education Region Service Center number 13. And so by the time they graduate, they're close to an associate's degree, because for any student in high school, 9th grade through 12th grade, if they want to go to college and they aspire to go to college and they can pass the entrance exams, Bartlett ISD pays for every kid that wants to go to college. But once they graduate and we feel like they're a good candidate to be a teacher, our Grow Your Own program will hire them to be a teacher's aide or and work in a classroom. So they're getting real world experience. They're earning a paycheck. They're starting their retirement benefits. And then we're paying for their college, so they get out of college debt free. And so it also makes education more attractive, because in Texas, now if you're a new teacher, it's the rule of 90. So you add your age and your years of experience, and that's when you can retire, when you hit that magic number, 90. But if you start at age 18 and you're getting your college paid for, getting real world experience, all of a sudden the rule of 90 just goes down to rule of 80. I mean, you're still operating under 90, but you can retire like you would if you were under the rule of 80. And so it makes education a little bit more attractive for somebody younger getting into the profession. And so right now we've got a teacher that just finished that's in our kindergarten classroom. We've got a couple of educational aides that are finishing up their bachelor's degrees, a couple that are finishing up their associate's degrees. And so it's exciting for Bartlett to be able to have that pipeline of educators. And we've actually got somebody doing a study in their doctoral program on the Grow Your Own program and how impactful it is in the classroom, and looking at student success for teachers who went the traditional pathway versus going this pathway, because all of our program is virtual, because they have to go to school, they have to teach, but then they have to go virtual. And so it's a little different, but they're getting the hands-on experience here. And so it's like an ongoing practicum for them. It's almost like it's better. And so, that's how we've solved the problem of people, the shortage of people. And 2, you've got to create an environment that people want to work in. You've got to create an environment where your people can thrive, where people feel supported. And we've been able to do that in a variety of different ways. One of the things that we do is we take You know, just something as simple as lunch. You know, we take that off the table. We'll provide free lunches for all of our staff members. And so we pay for everybody's lunch, whether you're a teacher's aide, bus driver, teacher, principal, we pay for everybody's lunch. Just little things like that, retention bonuses, if we can afford it, we'll give retention bonuses. But we also have a faith first community, faith first school district. And we put faith at the center of our district. A lot of people love that. And everybody has the ability to do that here in our school district. But we definitely take care of our people in a variety of different ways and make it an attractive place to work where they feel supported. We also do a lot of professional development. We probably spend more money than any school around us on sending people to professional development to learn over the summertime so they can feel like they're growing and being educated, and they can bring new things back, current things back to the school district. And then we allow those people to present in our August professional development, and we'll allow them to craft, you know, PD activities for our staff and be a part of that process. And so that's how we've kind of solved the people problem and not having enough people. And then another thing is definitely, the challenges of budget constraints and the challenges of budgets. It's really hard whenever, you know, it takes more people, more time, more money than it's ever taken to educate kids in Texas or in any other state across the nation. And it just seems like there's never enough of people, money, or time. And so, you know, I think one of the biggest things that I've been able to help do, and I think what any other leader in any other school district should do, is just at the advocacy level, getting in touch with your state representatives and having relationships with them. So I serve as the Region 13 director for the Texas Association of Rural Schools. And so we if you think you're rural, then you're rural, and you can become a member. And even if you're not a rural, you can be a member. But I think the Texas Association of Rural Schools is a great organization. And they're really big on having relationships with people like Dr. Brad Buckley. He's our chair of education for the House of Representatives. And so, you know, just having those relationships and being at the Capitol and advocating and picking up the phone and calling Dr. Brad Buckley or former Senator Creighton. He's now the chancellor of Texas Tech University. But having these relationships at the Capitol with your state representatives is paramount. But I also am the Region 13 director for the Texas Association of Rural Schools. And so I advocate on behalf of all rural schools in Texas, whether you're big, medium-sized, or small school. If you're rural, we're advocating for you. I serve as the chair for the Economic Development Board for Central Texas Council of Governments. And so we represent about seven different counties and help rural communities with things that they need, whether it be infrastructure, grants, community block grants, things like that are going to help with like roads or sidewalks or sewage or wastewater, fresh water, things like that, electrical. We help advocate for those rural communities across those seven different counties. And so advocacy is another way. The grow your own program, advocacy. We were able to build great relationships in our community. I knew coming into Bartlett 6 years ago, they needed a lot of help with their facilities. They had buildings from the 60s, buildings from the 70s and 80s. And so, I knew after being here, just for, you know, a few months, I was like, okay, these kids don't even have a track to have, you know, to work out on. You know, they're going to state and different things, but they're doing handoffs in the grass or busing our kids to Holland ISD for track practice, you know. And so we were able to garner the support in May of 22 to pass a $20 million bond. And then to stretch that a little bit more, we've been able to find some grants that we're working on. There's a COPS grant. It's the School Violence Protection Program grant that you can get for key card access, fire alarms, window film, anything that you can do for security in your school district. New key entry points, secure vestibules. And so getting like things like the COPS grant and getting other types of grants to offset the bond project costs, bond monies. And we had to get creative, and we also took out a maintenance tax note, which you don't really want to have to do, but to stretch the dollar and make it all work, that's what we had to do here in Bartlett. But we're doing about $30 million in projects, and We're getting a brand new cafeteria. That's a 550 seat cafeteria. So my vision was, because we were losing instructional minutes because all of our kids couldn't eat breakfast together. We didn't have a big enough cafeteria for everybody to eat breakfast together. And so we were losing instructional minutes. We're getting a brand new 550 seat cafeteria with a stage, two serving lines. Another problem was we only had one serving line. And so it took forever to eat. And so it took forever to kids to get through and to get
their
meals.
And then they're trying to gobble up their food before their time runs out. Yeah.
Right. And if you give them more time, then you're losing more instructional minutes. And so that's the story of a small rural school or any rural school district in Texas, and really any school district, because, you know, there's never, like I said, there's never enough time, money, people, you know, there's never enough square footage for schools either. I mean, you just continually are short on square footage. And so getting that brand new cafeteria has been super helpful. We took the high school that was from built in the 60s, and it's going to be fully renovated. And we're taking an old gymnasium and an old field house, athletics field house, and gutting it and just completely redoing the whole thing. And then we're turning an old cafeteria into brand new elementary classrooms. And so we're set to grow. I keep hearing we're going to have 1,400 homes come in. And so we're set to double in size, if not triple in size, with the current bond capacity, with the current bond that we've passed. And so being ahead of it and knowing the growth was coming, but not sitting on it and waiting, because it takes, when you pass a bond, it takes 3 years or 4 years to be built out, to be ready for kids. And so if we're going to have 1,400 homes, we're ready to go. We're set. And so, you know, just those are some of the unique challenges that we've had. Now we've, you know, academically, I think a lot of school districts struggle academically to keep up with the new test, the new STAR redesign, the new cut points that get changed, all the accountability, the high stakes, the one day, one test. And so again,
math
advocacy.
Thing. That drives me crazy. I'll tell you that if you want to, that just drives me crazy, but I'll stop.
Yeah. But the thing is, again, it's advocacy at the state level. You know, who's going to be in charge of creating a new law that makes that change? You know, we got with Brad Buckley a year and a half ago. Being a member of TARS, being a Region 13 director of TARS, having a relationship with Brad Buckley, we were able to talk to him over a year ago about the challenges of the STARS, the challenges of the A through F ratings and things like that, and how some of the things could, you know, we want accountability. We love accountability. We want to be held accountable and at a high level, but some things that were being done were just come across as unfair. And we were like, well, what can we do to keep it, but make it a little better? So if you look at House Bill 8 actually made it a little bit better. The commissioner now has to release the accountability manual before school starts in August. And so instead of getting it in September or November or even January, February, like we've gotten before, we actually get that accountability manual July before school starts. Shorten the length of the test a little bit, push the test to May instead of April, because the complaint was the teachers didn't have enough time to teach the TEKS to get kids ready. So again, not enough time, right? So they listened, you know, Brad Buck listened, and the House Bill 8 actually has our testing done in May instead of April, and gives us about 3 more weeks to teach the TEKS so that our kids can do better on these tests. They separated the writing portion. The writing portion will now be given separately instead of on every single exam. And so it'll be given separately in April. So the kids can just focus on the writing piece. And then it actually looks at through year growth measure. So the biggest thing with Domain 2, which is growth measure, is it used to measure one test one day every single year. So third grade math would be compared to fourth grade math and fifth grade math, which is good, but it measured one exam. And so our complaint was kids grow all year. Let's measure all year. And so you're going to hear a lot of people probably complain that all the tests like quadrupled or whatever. But really what happened is they're taking our actual exams that we give our kids. Our school districts are giving kids exams intermittently, just check growth to see how kids are doing so we can make adjustments on teaching and learning. And so we're actually able to use those same assessments and just plug them into TEA. Here you go. Here's the data. And so it's not more tests. It's the same amount we've always given them. You know, good school districts are already measuring growth all year. And so we call that the beginning of the year and the middle of the year assessment that we give them. These are interim assessments that school districts already give kids. And so it's going to take a true growth measure of how kids are actually operating, like in third grade math in the moment, And so when they get, and that's a pre-indicator of how they ought to do on the STAR test. And so again, just advocacy at the state level, and get, you know, in accountability was something like academics was something I knew that Bartlett was struggling with when I got here. We've hired some outstanding principals, again, creating a great environment that would want to attract some high quality principals. And then getting, we've hired two instructional coaches, one for our 6th through 12th grade campus and one for our elementary. We've got two wonderful counselors, one for the elementary, one for the secondary. We've been able to hire an assistant superintendent for a small school district. You don't really hear about that a lot, but again, there's never enough time or money. And so you've got to get the right people in order to get the job done, and just things like that. And then, just some good, really good hires with our, you know, English teachers, math teachers, science teachers, things like that. Again, creating that environment people want to work in, creating that environment people want to be a part of, creating that environment where every kid can thrive, you know, K through 12, because we're small enough. We can know every kid's name. We know every kid's home life situation. And just being able to create an individualized plan for each kid. And, you know, what parent wouldn't want their kid to be a part of that, you know?
Yeah.
And so having that culture of that, having that faith first culture of an individualized education where kids are going to thrive is kind of the culture that we've created here.
There's a big difference between being supported by somebody who's walked in your shoes and someone who hasn't. At Lighthouse Therapy, our leadership team is made up of experienced clinicians who've actually worked in schools. We understand the pressure you're under and what real support looks like. That's why our therapy solutions, whether it be virtual, hybrid, or in-person, are built with you in mind. No complicated systems or red tape, just streamlined support and seasoned therapists who are ready to make a difference. Learn more at lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together. Amazing. That is amazing. I'll tell you, I love that you're faith first, because, you know, I don't know if you know this about us, but faith is our center core value here as well.
Amen.
I never shy away from my faith. You know, I was like, Lighthouse exists because of my faith. So so I love that you guys have that. Not everybody will agree. We know that. But that's OK, because you guys are doing amazing things. And I wanted to ask you one quick question about the testing, you know. My biggest frustration with the testing, and I don't know that you're going to have an answer, and I don't know that there is a perfect answer. It's part of the reason why Brighter Together exists is, you know, kids, as a speech therapist, you know, you give a child a test, and how they are emotionally, and are they well fed? Are they, you know, are they ready? You know, you can teach and teach and teach, but if that child has a really bad day, you're going to get a really bad score. And yet that's the score that you're judged upon.
Yeah.
And I know obviously you are advocating and you've made changes based on the system that we have, but do you have any thoughts about a better system, a better way to track how schools are? I know people love their data. I know that's a piece of it, but I just am curious about your thoughts about, is there a better way to do it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, testing shouldn't be one size fits all testing, which is what it is right now.
Yeah.
And every single kid, whether you're special education, 504, section 504, or if you're emergent bilingual and you just got here from in Texas and you speak Spanish and you're a first generation emergent bilingual student in Texas, you have to perform at the meets level, which is what Texas says you have to do. And school districts get held accountable, you know, and kids that aren't getting taken care of at home that have abuse or neglect, those kids still have to hit the meets level on the STAR test. So it is one size fits all testing. I mean, let's get that straight. But I think the best way to do it is for school districts, like what we've been able to do, and we're still getting better, is you've got to meet those kids where they're at. And like we feed them free breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They get fed every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We send them home with food. We also have a backpack program with our church, our local church. Our First Baptist Church fills up backpacks for kids. They take into consideration like food allergies and things like that. But on Friday, we have like, you know, X amount of bags full of food for kids that they could have food over the weekend. But like, they know that they're going to get fed here at school. And the ones that really need it know that they're going to get to take food home on the weekends. We actually have a food pantry meeting this evening at 6 o'clock at our local library. And so we're always trying to, and we're like growing fresh vegetables and things like that for families that need it. And we have a really good local food pantry here as well that I'm real proud of. It's actually a couple blocks from our school. And so just being able to make sure their needs are met, but also emotionally, we started school-wide culture routines this year through the Texas Instructional Leadership Framework with Region 13. And it focuses on your school-wide culture and routines. And basically, studies show that when you greet a kid by the name, when they walk through and you let them like fist bump you or high five them and check on them before they ever walk in your class, studies show those kids are going to do better.
Yeah.
You know, checking on those
They're
kids.
Seen.
Yeah. And I love capturing kids' hearts. That's another really good one. But like, you know, meeting kids socially, emotionally, where they're at, having great K through 12 programs for social, emotional programs. We actually did a program for 6th through 8th grade, Living Well Aware. The Living Well Aware curriculum by Dr. Patricia Shulak is really, really cool. Hope anybody that's listening to this definitely looks at Dr. Patricia Shulak, her Living Well Aware curriculum for any school district. And basically, it's teaching them everything about, you know, drug and alcohol awareness, safe touch, safe relationships, just things that, you know, the systems of the body and why you need sleep, why you need enough water, why you need to eat healthy, what happens when you do X, Y, and Z, what are the consequences? She was the one that developed Worth the Weight, and then Worth the Weight turned into the Living Well Aware curriculum for youth. And so she's been doing it for a long, long time. And so it's something that we've actually been doing, and we teach it in our curriculum along with science. And so you're not just going to get science in Bartlett as a 6th grader. You're going to get Living Well Aware as well. You're going to learn about the skeletal system. You're going to learn about the endocrine system, your respiratory system, everything, you know. And so we even get permission slip signed to talk about all the organs of the body. If that makes sense? And what are the consequences for premarital sex? What could happen to you? You know, just things that parents probably want their kids to know from a doctor's perspective. It's not Dr. Teddy Clevenger's perspective. No, it's Dr. Patricia Shulak, who is probably a world renowned, you know, gynecologist, and her husband, who's a doctor, their perspectives on it. And so, it's really cool. I'm super excited about it. They're fixing to come out with a high school curriculum that we're going to launch this year or next year. I'm super excited about that too.
Wow.
But yeah, I think you've got to take control of the variables within your school district in order to help meet kids where they're at, so that maybe they can perform better in life. And part of that is taking the STAR test, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, we want kids to do good in life. And so we have to do what we can do here so that they can do better in life. Not just now, but after they graduate high school.
Yeah, without forcing them into a box that they don't fit into, for sure. Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
1,000%. Okay. Well, you have so much knowledge. I wish I had more time with you. I really do, Teddy. I know you've got stuff you've got to get to, but I am so grateful that we had this time together. I will ask you the question. If you had one thing, just one thing that you could miraculously fix. You can't do money. I know everybody needs more money. But if you could fix one thing and have it not be an issue in your district anymore, what would that one thing be?
Man, I think being positive is a choice that people make. I think that we have a choice to speak life or speak death. We have a choice to be kind or not be kind. I just think that relationships are so important. And I know a lot of people don't lead with relationships, but I think relationships, you know, in any profession, I don't care what profession we're in. I think if we lead with relationships and if we are kind and serve and love our neighbor, I think that fixes a lot of things. And yeah. I think the world needs a little bit more of that. Servant leadership, kindness, speaking life, more love, you know, I think that in general. And then if we can do that, I think we can make bigger strides in the right direction, not as an educational system, but as a state as a whole or a country as a whole. I think we would make bigger strides than
as society as a whole. Yeah. Love God, love others, you know, the two greatest commandments. Right. So absolutely fantastic. So where do people go if they have any questions? You've covered so many things that I know people are going to want to ask questions. So where would they go to find your school and find you?
Yep. So just Google search Bartlett ISD. You know, we're probably the only one's going to pop up. There's going to be one from like Tennessee or something like that. But Bartlett ISD.txed.net You can also go to the Texas Association of Rural Schools.net or just Google search Texas Association of Rural Schools. And then you can also Google, you know, Central Texas Council of Governments. I'm the chair for the Central Texas Development Board. We've got a meeting this Thursday to talk about some cool things coming up. But yeah, you can even Google search my name, Teddy Clevenger. There's, you'll see my grandfather. He was the Dean of Communications at Florida State University. He really developed the communications back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s into what it is today. They named the Southwestern Speech Conference after him, Dr. Theodore Clevenger. And that's really who inspired me to help me get my doctorate was my grandfather and a few other special people in my life, whether they're colleagues or family. But yeah, you can Google my name and you'll find Bartlett or you'll find other schools that I've worked at, Norman G or Teague or Temple or McLean ISD, Harker Heights High School. But yeah, Bartlett ISD and be looking for some great things to come. All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Teddy, and keep up the good work. It's September 30th, so lots of good things between now and when this podcast goes live. So thank you for being on Brighter Together, because you're doing it, and I love it. So
I appreciate it. We got to keep being that light, Brighter Together. Amen. Amen. All right. Maybe we podcast number two in the future. We'll see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Thank you again so much.
Thanks. God bless you.